Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Siddiqui. We can go ahead and get started.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. So inshallah we'll be reading from Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is the section number 23, starting with the ayah 183. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become mindful of Allah for a prescribed number of days. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, then the same number of other days. For those who cannot bear it, it is the feeding of an indigent person. Whosoever can volunteer some good, it is better for him, and to fast is better for you if you only knew. So you may remember that in the ayah number 177 of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned birr, the piety, the righteousness, and mentioned that righteousness is not just turning your face from the eastern direction or the western direction, but piety is iman, faith. Piety is charity. Piety is belief in Allah, acts of worship, and also manners, akhlaq, patience, and steadfastness, fulfilling the promises and contracts. So piety is a comprehensive thing. It covers every aspect of life, not just some rituals. And after mentioning this ayah, ayah number 177, then we have certain aspects of piety. The aspect of piety is that the life of every person, every human life, should be protected. So if there is a murder, then you pursue the murderer and bring him to justice. In a similar way, the wealth should be protected. And if somebody is dying and makes a will, then the will has to be fulfilled, and the will has to be administered the way the person wanted it. Of course, as you mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some rules of will and some rules of inheritance. So rules of inheritance, they supersede any kind of will. And after that, the will. And the will is within one third of one's wealth. It cannot exceed more than one third. And the will is not, after the laws of inheritance have come, the will is not for any of the heirs. Those whose shares are mentioned already in Surah An-Nisa, their shares will be there. And then anyone else, one can write will for them. For any relatives or anyone, any other charity, for a mosque, for a school, for a hospital, for some other thing, one can write that. And now we come to the rules of fasting. Fasting is a very important aspect of Islam. It is one of the pillars of Islam. Islam has five basic fundamental obligations, and fasting is one of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you who believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the believers, that fasting is prescribed for you. Kutiba, kataba yaktuba means to write, but kataba yaktuba also means to ordain, to prescribe. especially kataba ala. Kataba ala means to prescribe, and kutiba ala, and it is done, it is prescribed for you. So kutiba alaykum siyam, the fasting is ordained for you, it is prescribed for you, you have to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is also, this is not only on you, it was done before that to other, the followers of other prophets of Allah. Those prophets who came before Prophet Muhammad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa alayhi wa jma'in, may the peace of Allah be upon him and upon all the prophets of Allah. Their followers were also commanded, and it was told that to them that they should fast. So followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, all of them were commanded to fast. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Kama does not mean as it was prescribed for those who were before you. The as here does not mean exactly the same way. It does not mean that they had full month of fasting, or the way that we fast from early morning, from the dawn until dusk. It may have been different ways of fasting, but it was fasting was there. So in their Sharia, in their laws, there was fasting. And every prophet told his people to fast. We know that about Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, he was at Mount Sinai when he was fasting for 40 days. And he told his people to fast. So Jewish people were fasting, and they still do in a different way. But there is some fasting among them. And in a similar way, fasting among the Christian people, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, was fasting before he received the message of God at the River Jordan. And there he received the message, and he was fasting at that time because he was following the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. And also we know that the people in the Hindu religion, they have fasting. And people in the Buddhist religion have fasting, and Jain people have fasting. So everybody has some kind of fasting. So kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as it was prescribed, it was ordained for those who were before you. That there have been the prophets were before you. I mean, their followers are still there, but the prophets were before you, before us, before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And what is the purpose of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may receive taqwa. And taqwa, as we mentioned before, it is mentioned in the beginning of this surah, وَذَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Taqwa is awareness of Allah, consciousness of Allah, being mindful of Allah. That's what taqwa is. And taqwa is also means that you protect yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear Allah, so that you don't get into Allah's anger, Allah's wrath. And also, taqwa means that you do your duties. So taqwa has several meanings. It is observing your duties, avoiding the sins and the wrongdoings, and being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and protecting yourself from the hellfire. All of these things. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become pious, righteous people, being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, of course, the objective of taqwa, objective of fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ, so that you may. And that means if you do the fasting in the right way, yes, you will do that. But some people fast and they don't get that. So that means they're not a guarantee that if you fast, then you will become muttaqin. But this is the way to become muttaqin, if it is done in the right way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is for you. لَعَلَّ is not for Allah. لَعَلَّ means perhaps. It's not for Allah. Nothing is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, past, present, and future. It is for our purpose. So that you understand that it is for you, so that you may become mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah number 184, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. It is certain prescribed days, certain days that are numbered. So ayyam ma'dudat. Ayyam, the plural of yawm, day, ma'dudat, counted days. number days. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, these are not, you are not asked to fast for a long time, but you just fast few days that are given to you. And actually, this is to show that it is, yes, it is the month of Ramadan, but the month of Ramadan could be 29 days or 30 days. And if somebody misses for some reason, because of sickness or some journey, misses the Ramadan, then we have to see that whether the month of Ramadan was 29 days or 30 days, then he is going to fast 29 days or 30 days. So it is ayyam. The first thing is the counting of the days. Ayyam ma'adudat. But Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. But if any among you is sick or on a journey, that count other days. That means after Ramadan, you count the same number of days after that, some other days. فَعِدَّةٌ. عِدَّة means the period, the counting of the time. So that period will be of some other days out of after Ramadan. And then again, ayyam, depending how many days one missed and the same number of days one do for the makeup. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And then I say, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. And those who have difficulty to fast, they give fidya. This ayah, this part of the ayah, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ, has been interpreted in two ways. One is that those who can give fidya, then it is fidya upon them. That they should give fidya, they should give ta'am a miskin. Those who are able to feed a poor person, they should feed the poor person instead of fasting. So some of the scholars say that this was in the beginning. In the beginning, it was optional. Fasting was not absolutely required. It was required, but not absolutely required. If somebody would not be able to fast or have some money, he can afford that, he can feed a poor person, then instead of fasting, he would give feed the person. So, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٌ. And they say that this was in the beginning, then it was abrogated. It was became mansukh. And mansukh means that later in the Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whosoever sees the month of Ramadan, let him fast. So the rule came that everybody must fast unless somebody is sick. Otherwise, one cannot say that I have money, so I'm going to give fidya instead of fasting. So this was an earlier ruling, but this ruling was replaced by another ruling. So that's what one of the interpretation. The other group of scholars say that there is no abrogation. Yutiqunahu itself means that those who can fast but with some difficulty, that means old people, the people who are, or the women who are pregnant, or those who are nursing the babies. So those people, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ, those who cannot bear it, that have difficulty to fast, for them is fidya. And fidya is ta'amu miskin. For every fast, for every day of fast missed, there is fidya. Fidya means something that is a compensation, something that is the replacement of the for the fasting, and that is feeding of the poor person. Feeding of the poor person is explained by the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and the fuqaha, our jurists, explain that it is like one sa' of dates or barley or wheat or something like that should be given to the poor person, which is about 2.5 kilo of dates, and it is also allowed to give the price of that. So whatever is the value of that. So fidyatun ta'amu miskin, it is estimated here is about $12 for every day of fast missed. So fidya is about $12. According to the value here in United States. In some other places will be some other value, but fidyatun ta'amu miskin. So, or you feed feed the person. So if somebody is not able to fast the whole month of Ramadan and miss 29 days or 30 days, then you can feed 30 people or give the money to one person for all the 30 days. So this is in the situation for those people who are very old, who have difficulty to fast. So in that case, this ayah is not abrogated. This ayah is still valid, and it is the ruling, and that is for the old people, for the people who have difficulty to fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. And those who can volunteer more of some good, خَيْر means some money, financial. If they give more, they can. This is good for them. That means fidya is for one day's food for the skin. But if you can give more. It is good for you. فَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا بَدِي تَطَوَّعَ. Tatawwu is nafl, it's volunteer. It is not obligatory. Obligatory is fidyatun ta'amu miskin, the fidya of giving the food for the poor person for one day. But more than that, more than one day's food, if you give, instead of $12, if you give $15 or $20 per day, that is good for you. وَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. You will receive more reward for that. And وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. But of course, fasting is better. Fasting is better for you. It has brings more virtues, more reward, more blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will benefit much more if you fast. وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And to fast is better for you if you only knew. So the fasting is emphasized here in this ayah. But later, the second ayah after that comes, the next ayah. In that ayah, the ruling comes very that now it is obligatory. And this obligation has to be fulfilled except for those who are sick or those who are on journey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. The month of Ramadan is that which was sent down the Quran as a guide to mankind. Also clear proofs of guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So let him among you who is present fast during that month. Whosoever is sick or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah desires good ease for you, and he does not desire hardship for you, so that you may complete the number and glorify Allah for having guided you, and that you may give thanks. So Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is the name of the month, and this is the ninth month of the lunar calendar. Scholars say that Ramadan literally means something hot. Ramadan is the hot thing. So the Arabic months were named according to the season, because the Arabic calendar before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arabic calendar was unisolar. So that was the lunisolar. That means it is a mixture of the lunar year, lunar calendar, and solar calendar. And this is the way how some other groups have it. The Jewish people now have a lunisolar calendar. The Christian, to some extent, also have a lunisolar. So there's a mixture of lunar and solar. That's what the Arabs had in Jahiliyyah, in pre-Islamic time. And Islam made it a purely lunar calendar. So it is not mixed with solar. So that's why the lunar year has 355 days. And solar has 365. And Ramadan moves into the solar year. It comes every year 10 days before from the solar time. So Ramadan, when the name was fixed, it was probably a hot season. So Ramadan was a hot season. Some people say, no, Ramadan, actually Ramadan is from Ramada. Ramada is something to burn by the heat. And said, this is Yarmadu Zunub. Ramadan burns out the sins of the people. So Ramadan has this quality that those who observe the month of Ramadan, their sins are burned out, their sins are cleaned. So Ramadan cleans the sins. So that is the meaning of that. Allahu Alam, this could be both of them. And certainly Ramadan cleans the sin, but Ramadan doesn't have to be in hot season. I mean, we had last month Ramadan, it was hot. It was in the month of April and May, but for a few years it will be like that in the hot season, but then it will come into October, November, and December. So Ramadan throughout, it moves throughout the solar year. And also in some places it is in the hot season, in some places in the cold season. Here, last Ramadan was hot, but people in Australia, people in South Africa and other places, they had it in the cold season because their season, May, June, there is the cold season. So it could be, that's the beauty of Ramadan. That means all people experience Ramadan in different seasons. And every person who lives 70, 80 years would experience Ramadan in 3-4 seasons in his or her life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this time, Shahrul Ramadan. Why is Ramadan chose? Why this month was chosen? Not the month of Muharram, not the month of Dhul Hajjah or any other. Shahrul Ramadan, why it was chosen? Because this is the month in which the Quran was revealed. Unzila fihi al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran in this month. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in the cave of Hira one evening, and the Quran, Jibreel alayhi salam visited him, and from there the message of the Quran started coming. That was, and the Quran says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr," we revealed it in the night of Qadr. So night of Qadr, the evening of Qadr, and then also Laylatul Mubarakah in Surah Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent it down in a very blessed night. So that Layla al-Mubarakah, that Mubarak blessed night, and the Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan is the time when the Quran came. Unzila fihi al-Quran, some say that means that the whole Quran came down from the Lawh Mahfuz, from the highest tablet where things are preserved of what is going to happen in future. Everything is there, and from there it came down to As-Sama Dunya, to the lowest heaven, and from there it came in 23 years to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's one of the meanings. The other meaning is that the Quran started coming. The revelation began in the month of Ramadan. So Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, the month of Ramadan is associated with the revelation of the Quran. And what is Quran? Hudan linnas. Quran is the book of guidance. Quran is the book of guidance for all people. Everyone, people of the Arabs and non-Arabs, and the people of the past and the present and the future, all human beings, for their guidance, Quran is sent down. Hudan linnas. This is the book of guidance. Guidance is, that is, al-irshadu ila al-matloob, bilutfin. That is, in a nice way, guiding the people, telling the people what is right, what is good for them. And it not only gives you the guidance, but it also gives you the proofs of guidance. Bayyinat min al-huda wal-furqan. Bayyinat means the clear guidance, clear proofs. It tells you what is good and why it is good. What is the purpose of that? It is not only guide you and gives you the rules, but also gives you incentives for the rule, motivation for the rules. so that you be convinced and you recognize that, yes, this is good for me. فَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And those who take the Quran seriously, they get this criteria. That means they become people who can now distinguish between right and wrong. The spirit of the Quran is, it creates a motivation, it creates inspiration, it creates a power into a person. The person can recognize what is right and what is wrong. Well, Furqan, that is the criterion. So once you have this criteria, you can yourself can see that. Because al-mu'minu yanzuru bi nurillah, the believer sees by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quran has this power. It guides, it proves the guidance, and also creates capability in a person to understand what is guidance, what is right and what is wrong. And Allah says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So let him among you who is present fast during this month. So let him who is present means that he is not traveling. شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. That means he saw the month. The month is now, he witnessing the month while the person is not traveling. So that is the meaning of that. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. But then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ. But whosoever is sick or on journey, let him count other days, equal number of days, other times. مَرِيض, Allah has not explained to us how much marad should be, what kind of marad should be. This is left to a person. So if somebody is sick, I mean, that person make decision. You can consult your doctor for that and find out. So it is between you and Allah. If you feel that you have difficulty because of your sickness, then you are allowed not to fast. And you can make it up later. This is called qada. You can make it up later. And in a similar way of safar. Safar is, most of the scholars say, it's safar of the need. You need that journey, and it is, of course, it has to be a journey that is halal, that is not for any haram thing. If it is something for that reason, yes, you can go there. So if you need that to travel for your business, for your education, for your family reasons, if you go there. But people say avoid the journey that is just for tourism purpose or just for pleasure. Those journeys should be avoided during the month of Ramadan. But the necessary journey, take that journey, and if that journey is makes hardship for you, then you are allowed not to fast. So in journey, it is optional. If it is hardship during the journey, then you are allowed not to fast. If it is if there is no hardship, then you can fast. So وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ. Because in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to take journey, and some of them they used to fast, and some of them would not fast. Those who fast, they would not say anything wrong. For those who are not fasting, and those who would not fast, they would not say anything wrong to those who are fasting. But if it is a hard journey, then the Prophet used to say that laysa min al-birr as-siyam fi as-safar. Sometimes he saw a person who was almost fainting. And people were all around him, and they said, what happened? He said, this person was fasting and he fainted. And the Prophet said, it is not virtue to fast when you are traveling. So don't put a burden upon yourself. If it is difficult for you, journey is difficult, and you get sick, you get very thirsty, very hungry, the long day and hot day, and for that reason, you want to take concession, it is allowed. So وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ. But one has to make it up. One has to do the qada. And from this also, the ulama has taken that women who are nursing the babies or those who are pregnant, they are allowed not to fast during Ramadan, but they will make it up later. They should make it up later. How? As far as the making up later, should you start from the second day of Shawwal? Or no, you don't have to start from the second day of Shawwal, but try to make it up as soon as you can, before the next Ramadan. And however, if some reason we're not able to do that, because the excuse remained, or let's say that a woman was pregnant during Ramadan, and so she missed the fasting of Ramadan, but during the year she was nursing the baby, and then she became again pregnant before the next Ramadan. So in that case, she is not going to fast for two Ramadan. So she can give fidya. So fast for one Ramadan, that is the Ramadan that she was going to have. For that Ramadan, she will fast. And the Ramadan that he was not able to fast because of some excuse, then she will give the fidya for that. وَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah wants, desires ease for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not pose a burden upon anyone beyond his or her capacity. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. This is the beauty of Islam. The Sharia is to bring ease, not to hardship. Yes, Sharia has rules, and the rules have to be followed, but the rules are not based on the principle of hardship. The rules are, whenever something is hard, it becomes easier because of that. So, مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not put any difficulty for you in your religion. So yuridullahu bikum al-yusra. That's why if you are, you have to make wudu, but if the water is not available, you can make tayammum. You pray for rak'ah, zuhur and asr and isha, but when you are traveling, you pray two rak'ah. You can combine zuhur and asr, maghrib and isha. And number of things, so rules are, when there's some hardship, then the rules become easy. And in difficulties. Nowadays, for example, because of the pandemic, we say that it is obligatory to pray Jum'ah prayer in the masjid, but because of masajid are closed in many places, then it is not obligatory to pray Jum'ah prayer in the masjid. You can pray at home, and you can pray Zuhr prayer instead. So, and other rules are also in a similar way. So yuridullahu bikum al-yusr, Allah desires ease for you, and Allah does not desire hardship for you. But you have to complete the number, walitukmil al-iddah, the iddah of 29 days or 30 days, you complete that. So if you have missed some days of Ramadan from fasting, you make up for those days. You cannot, it's not that because you missed 10 days of fasting, that means you have to, and then 20 days you fasted, doesn't mean that you have to repeat the whole month, but only for days that you missed. وَلِتُكْمِلْ الْعِدَّةِ. It is not said that because you did not complete the month of Ramadan, now to do it all over again. No, only for those days that you missed, you make it up. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And you glorify Allah. You say takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say this means that Eid al-Fitr, the day of takbirat. So as soon as the month is over and the day of Eid comes, then you say takbir, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, so that you glorify Allah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Him, and because He has guided you to this way, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and so that you become thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So happily you may become thankful. That is, you become grateful to Allah, following, observing the rules, but at the same time, there are some concessions, and those concessions are for your own ease, for your own good, to accept those concessions. This is the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed that. So in the first time, it was mentioned that you, just few days, it is not months of that you have to fast. Just few days you have to fast, and that in the month of Ramadan, but these few days doesn't mean just days, it means the month, and the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan has a significance, and that is the month of fasting, the month of the revelation of the Quran. Some might ask that why, if it is the month of revelation, why do we fast if it is the month of revelation? Because it is the month of celebration then, and celebration should be with eating, enjoying the food. Why fasting? Fasting has connection with, revelation has a connection with fasting. Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Moses, when he was fasting when he received the revelation of the Torah, the Ten Commandments. So he fasted and then he received the revelation. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, was fasting. And then Allah gave him the revelation, the message of the gospel came to him. And in a similar way, Prophet Muhammad used to fast in the cave of Hira, and he received the revelation at that time. So he used to go to the cave of Hira and spend days and weeks there in fasting and in meditation and in ibadah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his message. So fasting prepares the heart and the mind and the soul to be attentive to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cleans the soul. And when the soul is clean and pure, then the word of God reflects into it. So that's why Ramadan is associated with the Quran. So you fast during the day and read the Quran and listen to the Quran during the Tarawih prayer. Prophet ﷺ prescribed, he said, Allah has prescribed for you fasting during the day, and I prescribe for you that you pray during the night. That means you do the Tarawih prayer, extra prayer during the night. So this is the way how the beauty of this month reflects in the life of the people, to benefit with fasting and benefit also with the Quran. And also it is a month of charity, because when you read the Quran, it gives you the Quran creates contentment of the heart. And the contentment of the heart makes a person generous. So that's why a lot of people give charity in the month of Ramadan. And it becomes the month of charity. That's why Rasulullah said, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الْبِرِّ وَالْمُوَاسَاتِ. It is the month of righteousness, and it's also the month of consideration, kindness towards others. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servant asks you about me, truly I am near. I answer the call of the caller when he calls me. Let them respond to me and believe in me so that they may be led aright. A very beautiful verse, a very powerful verse about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his nearness, as well as his kindness, that he listened to our call, he listened to our prayers, and he responded to our prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning fasting brings a person very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, say, Kullu amal ibn Adam lahu illa sawm. Every good deed of the human being will be for his credit, except fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a special credit for that. Allah will give you a special reward for that. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِبِي. It is for me. Because fasting is between a person and Allah. This is, nobody knows actually really a person is fasting or not fasting except Allah. So fasting creates ikhlas, sincerity, and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. When people came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقْرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَاجِيهِ أَمْبَعِيلٌ فَنُنَادِيهِ. Our Lord is near us so that we whisper to him, or he is too far and so we shout and call upon him with loud voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Say, I'm near. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks you about me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, I mean, in other places in the Quran, there are 15 places when this was mentioned, when people ask you, then Allah says, say to them, O Muhammad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here does not say, say you, O Prophet, say you, O Muhammad, salawatullahi salamu alayhi. When people ask you about me, Allah himself answers, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am near. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, Allah is near. And near here is an experience. Near in that is, you have to realize that. This nearness is not something physical. That's two people sitting next to each other and Allah is near to both of them. No, it is possible that one person feels a nearness of Allah, the other person does not feel that. So, because as one of the scholars say, Al-Qurb alladhi ta'arifuhu masafa, wal-bu'ad alladhi ta'arifuhu masafa, wa huwa al-qarib al-ba'idu bila masafa. One of the great scholars said that the nearness that you know is a distance, that you count the nearness by measuring the distance. And the farness that you know is distance also. So because you know somebody is far, because it's far, miles far away. So you say it's far away. So that's what you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and far without any distance. It is not something that you can measure by feet or by yards or by miles. No. For qareeb al-ba'eed bila masafa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. And it could be very near. أَقْرَبُ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. It could be closer to you from your own jugular veins. But it could be very far. There are people, they don't hear. When they are called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they feel like this call is coming from far away, from somewhere. But there are people who feel that he's calling. Yes, I feel that. He's calling me. I feel his nearness. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبِ. And this comes when you purify yourself. When you make dua, when you make salat, when you fast, when you do the acts of charity, when you become kind towards others, Allah comes very near to you. So, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If you want to feel the nearness of Allah, then do the good deeds. Pray to Him. Fast. Stand up during the night, tahajjud prayer. Allah has been very near to you, and you feel that. You feel that. Within yourself, you feel that. In your soul, you feel that. That Allah is very near to me. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And Allah says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِ إِلَىٰ دَعَانٍ. I answer the call of those who call me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that. When you call me, I'll answer you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِ إِلَىٰ دَعَانٍ. Whenever He calls me, I answer Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to the call. If you make dua, Allah will respond to your dua. Somebody might say, but I made dua, but I don't get the answer. Well, maybe you are not doing it in the right way. Maybe that you are not doing it with sincerity. Maybe you are committing some sins. And then also you are making dua. So purify yourself, clean yourself. Because Rasulullah said in one of the hadiths, a person is raising his hands all the way towards the heaven and is saying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. But his food is haram, his clothes are haram, his life is haram. Anna yustajabru, how you get the response? So clean yourself. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will say, make dua and Allah will listen to you. Ujibu da'wata da'a. I answer the call. Allah said that. I am near and I answer. So He will answer. But why He is not answering? He is not answering because the life is not right. Committing a lot of sin, day and night committing sin, and not even repenting, not even realizing that. And then He raises the hand. Allah, of course, sometimes He listens, even though the prayers of the sinners, He listens to that. This is His kindness, His mercy. But of course, in order to receive the answer to your call, it is important that look at yourself, correct yourself, improve yourself. So you go da'wat al-da'i ila da'an. And sometime, I mean, scholars say that du'as are also accepted, and they are accepted in three ways. Sometime whatever you ask, you'll get it. Yes. Sometime you get the answer immediately. So you pray to Allah and you'll get the answer for that. So sometime it comes exactly this, the way you ask, but sometime it is delayed for your own good, according to the hikmah of Allah. It comes later, it comes at its own time. And sometime this answer of this dua is kept for you in the hereafter. That means on the day of judgment, you receive the benefit of that dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you, remove some of the difficulties of the day of judgment from you. And give you a high rank in Jannah for that. So every dua is accepted. Every dua is accepted in different ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything, who has hikmah. So he answers to the dua according to his knowledge, according to his wisdom. Falyasajibuni. So let them answer to me. Let them answer to my call. Allah's call is the call of Iman. Allah's call is the call of faith. So answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana inna sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Our Lord, we have heard a caller calling us towards faith. Believe in your Lord. So we believe. So that is the istijaba. That is the answering to Allah. Allah's istijaba to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not asking us anything. Allah is not asking you to bring food. Allah is not asking you to feed him. Allah is the one who provides you food. Allah is the one who gives you whatever you have. But Allah is calling you so that you become better people. Correct yourself. Improve yourself. And Allah sent for that his prophets and messengers, and especially the last and final prophet, Muhammad. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Falyuminu bi. Let them believe in me and la'allahum yashudun. So they are guided. So their life becomes straight and good. And then after that, we come to some rules of fasting also. And the rules are mentioned here. وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فلا نباشرون وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشرون وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون. It is permissible for you to be intimate with your wives during the nights of fasting. They are a garment for you and you are a garment for them. Allah knew that you were betraying yourselves, so He relented unto you and pardoned you. So now be intimate with them and seek what Allah has prescribed for you, and eat and drink until the white thread of the dawn becomes distinct for you from its black thread. Then complete the fast till the nightfall, and do not be intimate with them while you are in retreat in the mosques. Those are the limits set by Allah, so approach them not. Thus Allah makes clear His signs to you that you may become righteous. So there is a context for this rule. In the beginning, people were, the rule was that you after the iftar, you eat, and then after that, once you sleep, then you cannot eat after that. Until next iftar time. So there was no sahur in the beginning. That is when a person goes to sleep, that's it. After that, cannot eat. If he gets up during the night and eats something, it was forbidden. Cannot eat that. So and in a similar way, one was not allowed to have a husband and wife relationship during the night. And it happened sometime that a Sahabi came to home. He used to work, he was working very hard the whole day. And he came home at iftar time and he asked his wife, do you have any food? And she said, I'll go and prepare something. And she went to get something to prepare the food. And when she came back, she found him sleeping. And she said, oh, what a loser. Yeah, khai badai. And now you cannot eat. And so it happened that he could not eat. And next day, during the day, he fainted because of hunger. He was hungry. He worked the whole day, the day before. And now he could not eat. So they went to the Prophet and told him about that. So this rule came. And in a similar way, it happened also to Umar radiallahu anhu, that he came to home and he found his wife sleeping. And so he woke her up and he wanted to have his intimate relationship with her. And she said, "I was sleeping." He said, "No, you were not sleeping." And they had a relationship. And then after that, he realized that he made a mistake because of the next day of fasting. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I'll wait until the ruling of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come. So that's the ruling game. So it is, Allah says, it is okay for you that during the night of Ramadan, I mean, if you go sleep and then after that you get up, you eat. You're okay, you can eat that. And the sahur was given to them. So he said that it is permissible for you to be intimate with your wife during the night of fasting. Because you're not fasting at that time. So you can have your natural relationship. And Allah said, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." Your wives are your garment for you and you are their garment. That means you can be very close to each other. Allah has allowed for you that. And this is the beauty of family life. This is the beauty of matrimonial life, that each one covers the other. Each one provides protection to other. Each one provides intimacy to the other. Hunna libasul lakum. They should become like a libas for you. And you become libas for them. You cover them. They cover you. And Allah says, "Alim Allahu annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum." Allah knew that you were betraying yourself, that you were cheating. And so Allah has forgiven you now. Forgiven you, afa ankum, and relented towards you. And so now you can have relationship with them and seek what Allah has written for you. That means in this, through this relationship, you can have children. Seek that, or any benefit that you can get so through this, you can do that. And eat and drink. Kulu wa shrabu, the whole night for you. You can eat and drink, but stop eating and drinking when the white thread of the night becomes distinct from the black thread. White thread and black thread does not mean the literally the thread. It means there is a morning twilight that comes, and that spreads all around the horizon. So it's horizontal. And this is called the twilight, ash-shabaq al-abyad, when you appear that. So when this becomes very clear that now the morning is there, from the darkness of the night, the darkness and the whiteness, the clarity of the day, of dawn, when it becomes clear to you, that is the time you stop eating. So sahur is until that time. You can eat and drink until the time that you see the dawn, the fajr. And the fajr is al-fajr al-sadiq. That is the true fajr. There are two types of dawn. One is the dawn that is false dawn, and the other is the true dawn. The false dawn is vertical, that goes over the sky, and then immediately after that become darkness again. So that's not the real dawn. The real dawn is when the sun is started now coming up, and it is still under the horizon, according to the estimate, about 15 degrees below the horizon, and then it goes up, and then you can see that, and that is the time when you stop eating. So Allah says, "Kulu wa shrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum," until become distinct. The morning twilight become distinct from the night of darkness of the night. Thumma atimmu siyama ila al-layl. And then complete your fast till the nightfall. And the nightfall is when the sun starts setting. So when sun goes below the horizon and you see disk disappear, that is the sunset. So you complete your fast till sunset time. And that is the way how you should fast, from dawn to sunset, from dawn to dusk. And then Allah says, "Wala tubashiruhunna wa antum aakifuna fil masajid." If you are inside the masajid, especially if you are making i'tikaf, because during the month of Ramadan, people make i'tikaf. I'tikaf is a retreat. And people devote the whole time It will be almost the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan that people do the i'tikaf. Once you are in i'tikaf, yes, you cannot go home and have relationship with your wives at that time. Do not have intimacy with them while you are in i'tikaf. And i'tikaf is min masajid. That means you cannot do i'tikaf any other place except in the masjid. And especially the masjid where the Jum'ah prayer is held. Because Jum'ah is farz. And i'tikaf is sunnah. So you cannot miss your Jum'ah for the sake of sunnah. So that's why it says, antum aakifuna fil masajid. So you have the i'tikaf in the masjid. So the tradition is that Muslims and the Prophet used to do that in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, he would devote his time in the masjid, staying in the masjid, sleeping in the masjid, and eating in the masjid, and not having any relationship with the family during that time. And people can come and talk for a short time and then they leave, but you cannot have any intimate relationship. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Don't come to near this limit. Because if you come near, that means you may cross them. So keep away from the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Thus Allah explains His signs to the people so that they become muttaqeen. They receive taqwa. So Ramadan teaches us taqwa, fasting teaches us taqwa, and all the rules of fast, they make it easy to become the people of taqwa, people of consciousness of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path. So we have a few minutes, inshallah, to take some questions if you have related to our discussion about fasting and Ramadan and some of the rules of fasting. Barakallahu fikum.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. I don't see any questions at this time.
Just recently, we were aware of all the rules of fasting, alhamdulillah. Okay. Good.
Okay. Just a few reminders. ISOC is now open for the 5 daily prayers. And we now have 2 time slots for Jummah, 1:15 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. You do have to arrive about 30 minutes before the prayer. And do please remember to register for each Jummah. Follow all the steps until you receive a confirmation. This will really help to get you checked in faster. You have, and to register in advance, please visit prayer.isocmasjid.org. Or simply use the link in the weekly newsletter. We are pleased to announce that Sheikh Shahid Ali will be offering a 12-week online class on Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, starting from July 12, each Sunday from 10:45 a.m. to 12 noon. Sheikh Shahid will be offering a discourse on belief, worship, and spirituality. The Zoom link and all other necessary information can be found on the website isocmasjid.org. And for updated information, follow us on ISOC Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for closing dua?
May Allah bless you, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Please observe the rules, the guidelines about infection that are given to by state and by the county. Is becoming very serious. In some places, it is coming back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. California also has increased problem with this. This virus is still here with us. Although, alhamdulillah, we are coming to the masjid and praying, but we have to observe the rules for that. May Allah protect all of you. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban-nar. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء والله remove this بلاء this affliction this difficulty from all of us and keep us safe and help us to do the right thing. So Allah remove the difficulties of those who are suffering because of racism, because of discrimination, and help us to live a life of fairness and goodness towards all people. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.